What's up, everyone, and welcome to Metalcore Nerds. My name is Sean Mott, your host. And today, we have my friend, former music industry colleague, now that I'm not in the game anymore, but Pablo Solis of No Sleep Fest in Houston, Texas. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Hey there, I'm doing good. What about you?
I'm doing good. It's a nice Thursday. It's pretty nice in New York. It started to get colder, which I wasn't a fan of, but the last 2 days have been really nice. I'm sure it's still hot as fuck in Texas.
It is.
Which
it is very hot.
It's imaginable. It's like 75 here, which is it's nice. It's just a nice. You go outside and you're like, ah, feels nice out. But it's the weird.
I wish I could experience that.
I feel you. But you don't get the winter, and that's brutal. It's brutal stuff. Lots of snow.
Well, I'm not used to it. Yeah, I bet I wouldn't survive in it because I went to Boston one time and I didn't have pants. I had shorts.
Oh, no.
And I walked out in December.
No.
And I didn't know. Mm-mm. I underestimated it.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
It was really cold. It was extremely cold.
The first time I went to Texas, I did the opposite. Well, kind of the opposite. I thought it was going to be warm. It was in like March. And I went to So What in Dallas. Mm-hmm. Like 5 or 6 years ago, and you know, Sam and I were like, oh yeah, we're gonna bring shorts, it's gonna be awesome. I don't think I brought any pants, no hoodies, and then it was just cold and rainy the whole time and windy, and I was like, what the fuck is this? So I know how it feels, man. I know how it feels to be vastly unprepared for the weather. It's not a good time.
Well, also Dallas and Houston are like the polar opposites too. So I was just in Dallas this weekend and it was actually cooler than Houston. And I'm just like, why? Like, why?
Because how far is it? Like 3 or 4 hours, or is it longer than that?
It's 3 to 4 hours.
Okay.
Usually like three, you know, but depending on where you're at in Houston, where you're at in Dallas.
Yeah, the weather changes. It's funny. I used to live in Syracuse, New York, and it could be pouring rain in one part of Syracuse and it's sunny in the other part. And it's like 10 minutes away. And just, it's crazy. But that's upstate New York. It could be snowing in the morning and then 70 degrees later sometimes. It's weird.
That makes me feel a little better about Texas. I always thought it was Texas that had bipolar weather. You know, like opposite ends like that.
It's everywhere, man. Everyone has their downfalls in weather. Besides, I think California. Because there's no humidity.
California's the only thing, yeah.
There's no humidity there. It was like 90 or something when I was there a few years ago. And they're like, man, you picked a hot week. And I'm like, no, I'm from New York. I was like, this is all I was wearing pants and it was like, fine. You know, I was like, this is crazy. There's no humidity here. I was like, this is fine. Like my friend lives in Northern California in the Bay. And it's like pretty much 75 mm-hmm. degrees all year round, maybe like 60. And I was like, dude, that's a dream. Like that's a dream, you know. You kind of get a little bit of the seasons, not really, but you know, it's nice weather all the time, pretty much. I would take that any day. I hate the snow, but I live in a place where, you know, half the year is fucking a death trap of winter. But it is what it is. What are you gonna do? You know.
Yeah.
But yeah. Had a technical difficulty. I mean, it's a podcast. Everyone has technical difficulties. So we had to start the podcast. But we were talking about Hunter x Hunter. And I'm sure a lot of people are know about the infamous Chimera Ant arc, which I'm about halfway through. And Pablo has watched the whole thing, so he knows all about it. And he was saying how he actually didn't like the arc. And I've heard that from a few people. I was saying it was pretty much it's the opposite end of, it's a lot of pop culture stuff now. Besides like a few things that are predominantly loved, it's either I loved it or I hated it. There's no in between with a lot of things now. But I've seen that specifically with the Chimera Ant arc. People being like, man, it's the best. I've seen a lot of people say it's the best anime arc ever, which is crazy because I've watched a good number. Mm-hmm. Of anime, but I would never say like I've watched it all because there's too fucking much. It's impossible.
Yeah,
like you were talking about One Piece, and I'm like, I couldn't even dare to start One Piece. It's still going too, right? It's like still happening. So like, what the like? I watched maybe half of. I got through half of Shippuden with my wife, and even that's like it's. There's so many episodes, and One Piece puts Naruto to shame in episode counts. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like I look at those and I'm like, there's no way, I could never do that. It's too much. It's too much.
You know, it's like once you're invested, you're invested.
Oh yeah, you know yeah. I mean? No, totally. It makes sense. I mean, I binge watched like 5 seasons of Walking Dead last year in like 2 months or something. Why? I don't know. Something in me. I stopped watching it like season 5 or something when it was before the Negan stuff. And I don't know if you're familiar with The Walking Dead at all. So I'm kind of just going, okay. So I stopped before the Negan stuff. I think the season before Negan got introduced. And I don't know why. I think I just got bored of it. And then I had a couple friends that were like still watching. And they were like, yeah, it's actually really good. And I'm like, maybe one day I'll get back into it. Because like all the seasons are on Netflix. It's very, very accessible to watch. So I watched Skybound, which is the company, it's Robert Kirkman's company, the same guy who does Invincible, did The Walking Dead. He's involved very heavily with all of the TV shows he wrote the comics for. And they have their own YouTube channel, and they did their own recaps of the season. So I was like, this is perfect. What better to watch recaps of seasons than, you know, people that got hired by the company who made them? Perfect. So I
gotta watch this.
They're really good. They're like very concise. They're like 10 minutes long, whole season. They go through everything basically. So I did that for seasons 1 through 5 just to get, because it's been years since I watched it. And I remembered like what happened. I didn't want to rewatch those seasons because I've already watched them. That would just be like a lot of time for no real reason. So I just watched those. I was like, oh yeah, yeah, that happens, that happens, that happens. Because a lot of people die in this show. If you know, I know a lot of people gave up on The Walking Dead and shit talk it very harshly. But a lot of people fucking die in it. Like a lot. So I was like, oh yeah, this person goes there, blah, blah, blah. The only thing that was when I first started season 6, I was getting used to people's names again, because again, it was years since I watched it. But after like 4 episodes, I was like, oh, okay, these are all these people. I got it. But I got so invested in it. I think I've had this conversation with a lot of people. And I think when you don't have to wait super long for certain seasons, like for Game of Thrones or even like The Sopranos or something like that, where there was like years in between and you binge it, it plays so much better. Because in reality, that's how this stuff is made. It's made to be watched continuously, like a big long movie or something, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that helped me, or maybe not. Because even I'm watching the new season, I'm a few episodes behind because I want to binge more together. Because there was like one episode when I was watching weekly and I was like, that episode was kind of pointless, but I bet in the overall scheme of everything, it will lead to something that makes sense later. Yeah. It's like this weird thing with content, with like binge versus weekly versus whatever. It's such like, cause I love weekly. Like I love that Marvel puts out stuff weekly, because it keeps the conversation going, and it keeps, you know, the conversation in between the episodes are really interesting. But it can also cause a lot of problems. Like the WandaVision problem is very apparent with, you know, everyone theorized out the ass for no reason, really, other than it was fun. And then when they didn't, the crazy theories that we thought up of didn't come true, people got mad about it. And it's like, well, that's our fault. It is.
Yeah, that was, you know, I remember that era.
and it happens. It's happened with Loki and stuff, which the Loki theories actually wound up being true, which was crazy. But I was like in the other side where I was like, I love the finale of WandaVision. I didn't care that all of our theories were wrong. It didn't bother me at all because I was there to watch the story they gave me. But a lot of people don't have that mindset. They're like, they didn't give me Reed Richards and there was no Mephisto and where was Doctor Strange and everything like that. And it's like, well, that's the story they wanted to tell us. It's called WandaVision. Guess what? We got a show about Wanda and Vision. They told us what we were getting. And they delivered it. Like, it is what it is. But, and because this whole thing started because we were talking about what we've been watching lately. He mentioned he was rewatching Hunter x Hunter. He also mentioned Squid Game, which I've watched one episode. I am very into it. Oh, did you watch the sub or dub? I know it's a controversial subject. No judgment either way.
Original. I watched it subbed.
Watch it subbed. We started subbed, but Sam's anxiety like got to her and she's like, okay, let's watch it dub. But I think now we're gonna switch back. Either way, I don't care. I'll watch it either way. I don't mind. I was very invested. Like a lot of shows or whatever we watch, especially at home, definitely not in the movie theater for me, but you know, everyone like scrolls on their phone a little bit while they're watching something when you're sitting on the couch. But for that show, I was like glued to the TV. Because I was like what's gonna happen next? I was so interested in it. So I'm excited to watch more of that. Everyone's praising it, which makes sense. It's really cool. It's a very cool concept.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I've heard that there's a show called Battle Royale that's a little similar in ways, but I'm very excited to watch more of that show. So yeah, that's what you said you were watching, right? Hunter x Hunter, you finished Squid Game, and watching One Piece again. Is that correct?
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah. Hunter x Hunter, I've finished it like 10 times.
Damn, really?
Yeah, I'm starting from the first episode to the last episode. I just done it continuously.
I mean, it's a great show. I love it.
Yeah, it's a great show. It's really rewatchable, honestly.
Yeah, I love Gon. He's like the perfect protagonist, like anime protagonist. He's like a mix of so many different ones. Like he's definitely like a mix of like Goku and like Deku, even though I'm pretty positive. I know at least the anime came out way before My Hero. I don't know about the manga itself.
Yeah.
But he has like a good mix of like all of the main protagonists. You know, he's like emotional, but he's not too cryy. You know, he always stands up for himself and his friends and shit like that. Like he's very loyal. But he's not dumb either, even though he has dumb moments. But that's being human. You know, you can be a very smart person to say or do something dumb. It happens.
He's a very positive. Not too cryy, just like the rest of the main characters.
Yeah, which I will defend that Deku is not that bad. Not as bad as other people. I don't know. I feel like people cry way more than Deku. But people always label him as the crier. I don't know. I love My Hero. I think it's amazing. I need to finish the latest season.
Amazing.
We're in
like, you can tell.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was like, I see all of them up there. Which is awesome. I love that. Was like I watched like Dragon Ball Z and like Sailor Moon and Pokemon when I was growing up, but I didn't really get into anime until 2 years ago when Sam and I started watching My Hero was like our gateway pretty much, and then we just kept starting new ones and new ones and new ones. I think Attack on Titan is my favorite personally that I've watched.
Attack on Titan is brutal. That's intense.
Because it's like, I call it the Game of Thrones of anime, because it is fucking crazy.
Yeah. And anybody could die, honestly.
Dude, that's what I mean. Like, it's so surprising, and they drop major plot twists and just dialogue, and you're like, wait, what did they just say? Like, what is going, what? We just finished season one of Tokyo Revengers. I don't know if you watched that one, but if you haven't, I recommend it. It's so sick. Take this, I said this to someone last night, so you have to take this with an anime filter over it, but it's like a mix of The Butterfly Effect and Sons of Anarchy. Mm-hmm. Very weird, because there's like motorcycle gangs, but it's not like drug dealer, biker gang Sons of Anarchy. I just say like the bike gang part of Sons of Anarchy, but there's a very Butterfly Effect vibe to the whole show. It's very cool. Deals with like time travel, sort of. It's not complicated time travel. It's very linear time travel, so it's not hard to follow. But it's very, very cool. And season one ends crazy. So I'm like, I need season two now. Just now. But I know it won't come out for like a year or two or whatever that ends up being. But I recommend that one very highly. It's awesome.
Okay, I'll check it out. I saw that I wanted to watch it because I know that there was an article that said that it passed up Attack on Titan. I want to say like manga and sales of manga. So that's why I was like, okay, I guess this is like that's crazy though too as well. Like, you know, like this just recently came out and it just passed up a big contender, you know what I mean? So I was like, dang, I guess it's really good then.
Yeah, it's definitely becoming another popular one, just how like Demon Slayer and Jujutsu Kaisen became. You know, it's like, it seems like that's like the next one that's kind of, it's not as popular as those two, but it seems like a lot of people are talking about it. Like those two in a way.
Yeah.
I rewatched the Demon Slayer movie like a few weeks ago, and it's still fucking awesome. I don't know if you're into Demon's. I don't know if you're into Demon Slayer.
I love Demon Slayer. I read all the manga.
Oh damn! Hell yeah, yeah!
And then the show was amazing. I love the show.
So you already know what the fuck's gonna happen anyway.
Yeah.
That's what it doesn't deter me from manga, but it's like the big difference between comic books and adaptations is that manga is usually the same mostly.
Yeah.
I know they do change certain things and they'll add stuff and things like that, but it's usually pretty much a straight on adaptation, whereas comics are nothing like the source material usually. They'll do the little
ideas.
Yes, and they more of kind of give you, they reward you for reading those things with little Easter eggs or stuff like that. But that's why I read more comics than manga. I have a ton on my bookshelf down in the living room, but I haven't read any of it. Just because I'm like, I already know what's going to happen. Like, we have like the first three books of like Death Note, and I have like a Dragon Ball Z and Dragon Ball 1, but I'm like, I'm going to read it, but I already knew what's gonna happen. So it's like, you know, you're just reading something you already know is gonna happen. It's kind of takes the fun out of reading, you know. Like
they're more like collectibles, you know.
Yeah.
I have some too as well, and I don't really read them.
Yeah, because the Death Note ones, they're like all black editions, like the sides of the pages are black and everything, so they're really nice. And they are more
like the big ones.
They're not super huge. They're still paperback, so they're not crazy.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
They're not crazy.
Okay.
I know you didn't mention this in this version of the recording, but we talked about how you saw Venom 2. I saw Venom: Let There Be Carnage last night as well. So we're gonna talk non-spoiler talk about that. But first, I want to talk about the box office numbers, because regardless of what either of us say about this movie is absolutely dominating at the box office. It did just over $90 million domestically last weekend, finally dethroned Shang-Chi from being the number one movie in the country. And it had a higher opening, the highest opening since the pandemic, I think since Rise of Skywalker, if I'm correct in that. But it beat out Black Widow, beat out Shang-Chi, and also beat out the opening weekend of Venom 1, which is pretty crazy because that movie made a fuckload of money. So this movie is crushing. It's the same as last one. The first one was very divisive in reception, still made a whole fuckload of money. And I call it the nerd bubble. And it's kind of like everyone who's a nerd, like a lot of people in the Facebook group and things like that. We like live in a world where we're like obsessed with pop culture and obsessed with Marvel and DC and all that stuff. And we like watch all the YouTube channels, and you know, I have a podcast where I talk about this stuff. And we live in a very small bubble where actually the minority of the world is outside of it. And half the time when things happen, they're very surprised. And we're like, oh yeah, we thought that was probably going to happen, but it's cool that it happened. You know, My wife Sam is in that bubble for the most part. She does know some stuff, but she's not super hyper obsessed like I am. So like when Sylvie showed up in Loki, she's like, oh fuck, a female version of Loki, what the fuck? And I was like, oh yeah, I figured she was gonna be in it, because you know stuff like that. But I was like, this is cool. It's not like I'm like unimpressed by it. I'm like, oh, it's cool, but I figured it was going to happen. So it's like that people outside this nerd bubble are what's making all this fucking money, because they're like, oh, Venom, I love Venom, I've heard of Venom, I'm gonna go see the movie. You know what I mean? It's that kind of weird thing. And it's hard to take yourself out of that a lot of the times and realize that there is people who aren't hyper obsessed with the stuff that watch this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, but it's why these things make money. It's why these things get nominated for certain things. You know, it's why all of these huge level actors are coming to be a part of these movies now, or TV series, or whatever. But before I get into my thoughts of Venom 3 Carnage, I want to hear your non-spoiler thoughts. So we're not going to talk about the end credit scene at all.
Okay.
Because there's, I think most people kind of know what it is, but we won't talk about it. But don't give anything away. You know, things that are in trailers are fine to talk about. But what did you think of the movie? Because I have some thoughts. That's for sure.
I love how you're like this version of us that haven't talked about it yet. And right now the multiverse is like the biggest thing right now. So I was like, oh, okay, damn. That's like that kind of like messed me up a little bit.
I know.
I didn't have any expectations for Venom.
Fair.
So it was a good movie to me, but if I felt like if I had expectations for it, it would have been bad, you know? And
it's a good way to put
I'm
it.
I'm glad I went with no expectations. I'm glad I didn't win with no expectations. I was just literally there to have a good time. I literally was just there chilling. And like you said, I got spoiled, you know, the end credit scene beforehand.
Fair.
And actually, I was kind of bummed out that I was like actually spoiled it. And I usually don't care about spoilers.
Yeah.
That would have been amazing to get that reaction out of me. Like, you know, I'm just sitting there getting my popcorn and like, oh.
Yeah.
And my girlfriend even got up when the movie was done, getting up, like getting ready to leave. And I'm like, wait, you got to stay. You got to stay. We got to wait.
why don't you take a seat?
But
why don't you take a seat?
Yeah, exactly. She was like confused. She's like, this isn't a Marvel movie. I'm like,
it is a Marvel movie, though.
Just sit down. No, like yeah. in the yeah, MCU. Yeah, she yeah, was yeah. Like, yeah. I'm like, just sit down.
Almost, if anything is a nerd movie, it's likely to have an end credit scene. You know, DC does yeah, that. Nowadays, you know yeah. what I mean? Like, they all do it.
Yeah.
They all do it.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter. The first Venom had an end credit scene. It's what led into this movie. You know what I mean?
Actually, I never saw Venom 1, though.
Pretty much the end of Venom 1, the end credit scene is him going to see Cletus in the prison. And he says this really dumb line and ends it with Carnage, which is... I was like, okay, I get it. I was like, I'm excited to see Woody Harrelson as Carnage. But yeah. it got the point. He was also wearing this really terrible curly wig. I'm sure you've seen pictures of that. If not,
check it out.
If not, Google it later. Or just YouTube the end credit scene of Venom 1. He's wearing this terrible wig, and I'm glad they changed that at least. But that's a fair thing about expectations of this one. So for me, one of the things that got me into end up being obsessed with pop culture later in life is I was very into the animated Spider-Man cartoon, and one of the first arcs in it is the Venom and Carnage arc. And I grew up like loving Spider-Man, Venom, and Carnage. I have like this bookshelf on the other side of my office, and the whole bottom row is like Venom and Carnage pops. The first like comic book run that my wife bought for me was a Venom run. And like, I even have the first appearance of Carnage that my best friend got for me is over there too. So it's like, I love Venom and Carnage. I liked the first movie. I didn't love it. It was more of, I love Tom Hardy as Venom. The movie was just kind of whatever. But I liked that it was super weird, and I liked the relationship between Eddie Brock and Venom. So I was like, okay, that movie was fine. I'm excited to see where it goes. So obviously the post-credit scene landed Carnage, so I was like, okay, the second one's going to have Carnage. And then I saw these trailers. You see how good Carnage looks. And I'm like, okay. Yeah. I'm like, okay, this movie could actually be really cool. Let's see how it is. I was pretty hyped for the movie, to be honest. Especially when people were like, the end credit scene is crazy. Which, I think the end credit scene got overhyped a little. Because once you say it's crazy, and it's a Venom movie, you can kind of put together the pieces and figure out what it's probably going to be. So I actually thought it was going to be something crazier. When I watched it, I was like, ah, it's fine. But that's exactly what I figured it was going to be. So, whatever. But I don't want to go into details of that. I'm sure everyone who's listening to this already knows what it is anyway. But for me, this movie was a big letdown, personally. I didn't hate it. I don't think it was terrible, because there was aspects I did really like. Again, I like the Tom Hardy and Venom stuff. I felt like Tom Hardy was having the time of his fucking life, and for some reason, he was on a level like up here with acting, and then the rest of the movie were like way the fuck down here. I don't know what they were doing. Like Michelle Williams, who's an Oscar nominated actress, Woody Harrelson, I'm pretty sure he's been nominated for an Oscar, but Woody Harrelson is incredible. I was excited to see him as Cletus Cassidy, but to me, he was just like very whatever. Personally, I know there's people that like this movie, and there's, again, like I've talked about this all the time, I like almost everything. It's very hard to make me be like, eh, that was whatever. That's why I'm so bummed about this movie. Because I went in being like, I'm stoked for this movie. And then I came out being like, yeah, I'll probably never watch that again in my life. There's no need for me to watch it again. But I like the relationship of Eddie and Venom. Again, Tom Hardy was awesome. I loved how funny. It was a really funny movie. which was cool. Like, it made me genuinely laugh. And I think it's because they stayed with that weird tone from the first one, which I liked. Venom's weird. He's just weird. The fight scenes was a big improvement from the first one, because that was one of my biggest gripes with the first one. The end fight scene is like just a mess. It's a mess. You can barely tell what's going on. It just happens and then it's over. This one, at least you're like, oh, you can fully tell what's going on between Carnage and Venom. Yeah. Which was cool. That's what you want to see in a Venom and Carnage movie, is them, you know, Carnage doing all this fucked up shit, killing people, and them fight, which we got, and it was awesome. It's just the movie in between was just very whatever. And that's really all I can say without getting too much into it. I'm going to be having... Like, people dog on me in the Facebook group. If you're not in the Facebook group, I'm going to add you later. But people dog on me for liking everything. And people have seen me, like, I tweeted that I was like, I saw the movie. That's my review. That's all I have to say. And we're going to have a panel on Venom: Let There Be Carnage in a few weeks. Maybe next week. I don't know. I have already people in mind I'm going to do it with. I just got to hit them up and schedule a day where we can do it. And I think people will be surprised of the things I lay into. But that it is what it is. That's really all I got to say about Venom 2 without getting into details. But I am excited to see where Venom goes next. Again, like the first one. It didn't totally kill my love for it because I liked what Tom Hardy did. So I'm excited to see where this leads to. That's all I'm going to leave it at. And that's all I got.
I guess like the last thing just to talk about that is just like, I felt like Carnage really like sold me on like this could have been like a horror movie.
Oh,
you know, on his part. You know what I mean? I really genuinely hold on, an ad popped up. it really sold me on like, I actually got terrified a little bit. I was literally like there, like gripping on my seat. I'm like, oh my god, this is actually kind of like a little terrifying.
Yeah, I kind of wish they leaned it like that. Like a lot of people were freaking out about the PG-13 rating, which they did a really good job, but I kind of wish they did lean more into the R and made it super brutal and like almost like a slasher horror movie. That would have been way cooler to me if like the first half of the movie is him just straight up murdering people, but in a way more like how Suicide Squad was. Like, it's super over the top and gory, and they leaned into that camp because they've already established this weird ass tone. Go into it more. You know, stop having these characters say these super corny lines that are just like, we get it. The dude's named Carnage. You don't have to have Woody Harrelson say Carnage 15 times throughout the movie. We get it. It's in the title of the movie.
Yeah.
Like we got.
That was a little weird. Yeah.
We got it. You know, like just stuff like that. But, you know, it is what it is. And now we're going to transition to something that I liked a lot more. I was actually kind of critical on, we're going to talk about the I called it the two-part finale of What If, because the last two episodes were the only ones that were really connected to each other. I guess the end of episode 7 led into 8, but the events of episode 7 itself did not lead into it. And it culminated in this nice two-part finale that was really cool. Because at episode 7 for me, I don't know if this was for you, I viewed What If as like, oh, this is going to be a fun thing. And then that last trailer came out and I was like, oh, this could be more than that. And it did end up being more than that. But I think the anthology story of it kind of took me out, because my favorite part about the MCU is how everything ties in together, how everything leads into something else, how this ties to that and stuff. And this didn't really have that. It was more of things we've already seen, just done differently, which is fine. Yeah. I just... my main strength of the MCU is telling an overarching story. So it was kind of just like story, 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 story. Oh yeah, now they overarch, you know, which was kind of, because but the Party Thor episode, probably my least favorite episode. It had some really, like the fight between her and Captain Marvel, or him and Captain Marvel, was awesome. Yeah. It was like a straight up anime fight, which was cool. I was glad I got that, but the rest in it was fine. It was like a fun episode, but there was no episode I hated, I guess. There's no, because they're fast, they're fun, it's a cartoon, they fly by, and you're like, okay, it's done. But I was getting to a point where I was like, I don't really care. You know, it's not that I hated it. I was just like, there was nothing for me to be invested to. But then when they ended with the Ultron Stinger, I was like, okay, here we go. This is what I wanted from the start. something to kind of tie it together.
Yeah.
But that the episode 8, the What If Ultron 1, easily my favorite episode. of the whole series. It was awesome. We got the Age of Ultron we never got in the movie, which I'll defend that movie until my grave anyway. But I've always wanted Ultron to come back in some way, shape, or form. And we got it in a different way than I thought would happen, but we got it. And it was awesome. He gets Vision's body. He gets the Infinity Stones. He fucking demolishes Thanos. It's awesome. So before we dive a little deeper into these two episodes, what did you think of What If overall? Did you think it did its job?
I love What If. So I think it did do its job.
Cool.
I actually think it might be one of my favorite shows so far they've actually released, actually.
Really?
Like, it was entertaining throughout every single episode, and it actually surprised me in some of the things they did. Like you said, like, bring up back Ultron. You know, I've been wanting Ultron to show up in the movies, you know, at least a hint. Same. You know? Because, like, I feel like he still needs his moment.
Yeah.
But, like, I was actually shocked that they actually did a lot of, like, all the things they did pull these episodes, I was actually shocked.
Yeah.
You know? And I enjoyed it a lot, honestly. I look forward to it. The first one, I have to admit, I didn't really like it too much.
The Captain Carter one?
When the second one came in, then that's when it started, like, getting me involved.
Yeah.
I feel like the pacing of episode two was a little more better than episode one.
Yeah.
That's probably why I liked it a lot more. And then after that, I was hooked, pretty much, honestly.
Yeah, I was talking, I have this group of podcatchers that we're in this group chat, and we talk about just whatever, and we were talking about What If, and I was trying to tell them about kind of the nerd bubble thing, going back to that. But it is a very good introduction to a multiverse type thing, because multiverse stuff can be very complicated. Like the season finale of Loki, to anyone outside the nerd bubble, even some people inside the nerd bubble, can be insanely confusing. Because if you didn't know Jonathan Majors was cast as Kang for the next Ant-Man movie, and Jonathan Majors shows up in the season finale, you're like, who the fuck is this guy? You know what I mean? I was like, oh shit, it's Kang. Holy fuck, they did it. I cannot believe they did it. You know, but other people are like, who the fuck is this guy? Which makes sense. Again, I mean, I run a podcast where we talk about this shit. So, and I'm just interested in that stuff anyway. So, you know, someone like me, of course, you're like, yeah, this is the fucking greatest thing ever. But someone who has no idea who Jonathan Majors is, hasn't seen Lovecraft Country or Last Black Man in San Francisco or anything like that, they're just like, who is this random guy who's runs the TVA? Like, what the fuck is this? This is super confusing. And then he, you know, explains the multiverse, and then the multiverse is collapsing, and you're like, what the fuck is going on? I can see how it's very inaccessible to certain people, but this episode did a very good job of being like, oh yeah, see, one little change and what we've seen before can make something happen totally different. And yes, the first episode definitely was, they crammed a lot into it, and it was basically the first Captain America just done with Peggy Carter in the role of Steve Rogers. I liked that episode. I was like, it was fine, it was fun. Some of the jokes were definitely like way kiddish, but this show is also made for kids too, so
yeah,
it makes sense. But I liked Captain Carter. I thought she was awesome. You know, it's like, what would happen if the super soldier serum went to someone who was already a trained, you know, like, secret intelligence officer? Like, that's cool. And it seems like we're probably going to get her in live action too, which is exciting. And she's going to come back in season two of What If, which will be cool. Yeah. Cool too. I have something I want to talk about, the end credits scene. That's my theory to it, which could be very cool to see how that pans out in season two. But yeah, going into the two-part finale with this whole Ultron thing, like, him, and I had this big conversation about the stones, because that's like a big point of contention, because the TVA, you know, how they're like, if you brought the stones out of your universe, they don't work anymore. So they're like, why would Ultron's work? So I came up with this theory on that. I mean, it could just mean nothing and us looking too hard into stuff, because that's also a thing with nerd culture now, is we overread some things that really aren't meant to be anything, like the aerospace engineer who is just a person or whatever. I mean, they can retcon that later and have the aerospace engineer be someone else. It's very easy, because I could just say, oh yeah, you didn't even bring your you know, rover to me, you had it delivered by someone else. Very easy for them to retcon those kind of things, and they do that stuff all the time. But it's just, I think, because since it's from people who are obtained by the TVA and they prune those timelines, there's no universe the stones are attached to, so it makes the stones useless. That's just me thinking probably way too much about it and trying to give an explanation for it, but that could be a very like sound argument to why the Ultron stones work regardless of the TVA stuff. That's just me. It's not really the point of this at all. It's just a thing.
Well, that makes sense. It makes sense.
It was just a thing I wanted to bring up. But this Ultron is terrifying. I honestly didn't think they were gonna I didn't think they were gonna beat him in the end. I thought they were gonna have to like break the multiverse again. Or you know, because it's been this whole thing of like who really broke the multiverse? Was it Doctor Strange? Was it Sylvie? Was it Wanda? Yeah. We don't really know. Was it meant to happen anyway? Kind of seems like it was. But we don't know break the multiverse, so I thought the Watcher was going to be added to that group with all of them, but that didn't happen.
Yeah.
But I really didn't think, and I guess he really didn't get defeated if you really think about it. He kind of did, but not really, you know, how it ends. But Ultron is terrifying. The Watcher fight through multiverses was very cool. Another kind of anime-esque, super, like, Dragon Ball Z epic fight, which was very, very cool to see. And then I loved the ragtag team they made up in the end. And apparently, I know a lot of people are wondering about the Gamora and Tony episode. Because obviously there's an episode in there. Apparently that's going to be in season 2. We're going to get that story in season 2, which is very cool. I'm looking forward to that. Because as soon as I saw that, I was like, man, where's that episode? I want that. You know, like I want that episode. But it seems like we are going to get it just in season 2. But I think my expectations, I broke my own rule of expectations, but I thought the multiverse was going to break. So when it ended like it did, I was kind of like, eh, but I still liked it regardless. But now thinking more about it, I was like, that was a really cool finale. It is like the finale was what I wanted for the whole series, if that makes sense. Like I just wanted an overarching story somehow, but I know it's hard because it's what if, and you're dealing with different multiverses and different universes. So it's kind of hard to do that. And they did bring everyone who was pretty much introduced into the fold at the end, so it did ended up making sense. But I know you already said you love the series, so I'm guessing it's the same thoughts for the finale. But if you have anything else to add, please add.
Okay, I gotcha. I have to admit, the only character I wish they'd thrown in to that ragtag team would have been Spider-Man from the zombie one.
A lot of people said that. Yeah, they didn't add anyone from the zombie crew. Because someone
they didn't at all.
Someone mentioned the Spider-Man Supreme or whatever, even though he was just Spider-Man with a cloak. He did not have any magical powers whatsoever. But some people were mentioning that. And then now that I thought about it, I was like, oh, they didn't add anyone. I mean, I guess they kind of added zombie Wanda a little bit, which that was a very cool moment. Cause when she saw like that Ultron's face was Vision, you could see she like recognized him, which was really cool. I loved that. That was a very, very cool moment. I did also kind of want to see zombie Thanos face off
Was gonna happen.
Me too. I do hope but I'm okay with that if we get another zombies episode in season 2, because that was probably my second favorite episode. I loved the zombie episode so much. I was like, I want a full series of like animated zombies. Give it to me. It was that episode was so cool. It was so brutal for a cartoon, especially a Marvel cartoon.
Yeah,
and it was funny, but it had like really nice like dialogue. Peter Parker talking about all the people he's lost, the first MCU mention of Uncle Ben, the T'Challa line, which means even more because of what happened with Chadwick Boseman in real life. Like it was just very, very nice. And I guess that's another news about Chadwick Boseman. They were apparently planning a whole spinoff series with T'Challa Star-Lord, but obviously they can't do that anymore. But I saw that news and I was like, ugh. That sucks so much. I would have loved to see that. The episode was very awesome too. But yeah, I do hope we get more zombie Thanos, because that cliffhanger, we kind of got all the cliffhangers kind of tied up, or at least continued on in a way.
Yeah.
Like we saw the team, like they end up, the Ultron Black Widow goes with the team with Steve Rogers, Captain Marvel from the Who Killed All the Avengers episode where they were fighting Loki at the end. That was really cool to see. We end up seeing Ego in the beginning. They don't really address the Ego thing, which I guess they could go back to, or maybe not, because that's in T'Challa's world, so I don't know if they'll go back to it. I guess we'll see with that one.
Yeah.
But they revisited that one. As far as like the big cliffhangers, that was the only one they didn't really revisit was the zombies one. So I'm hoping we get another episode in season two for zombies. I cannot say how much I loved that episode. I really, really, really did. But yeah, I want to talk about this after credit scene. So they find the Hydra Stomper in there and they say someone's in there. Now, my hope is, since this, like, all of the scenes from that episode were very Winter Soldier themed, little Steve is going to be the Winter Soldier of that universe and has to face off against Peggy. Like, she would, like, he ended up becoming Bucky. You know what I mean? He is the Winter Soldier in the Hydra Stomper. I'm hoping that's what's happened. We'll see what happens, but that's my theory. That's what I want.
That's a really good theory, actually.
Because honestly, when they went to go see someone, I thought in it was just going to be him as the Winter Soldier, not with the Hydra Stomper. But I'm actually happy that they include the Hydra Stomper too. So I really hope we get that in season two. That's my hope. Steve is the Winter Soldier, because that's wild. That's what I want.
That's actually a crazy theory. I haven't been thinking about this. You're feeding me these new theories, and I'm just like, what?
That's what I do, man.
That makes sense.
I think about these things too much, I think. There's a few quick things. I want to just rank the episodes, and then I'm going to have you plug No Sleep, and then we got to wrap it up here.
I got
real quick. But yeah, I'll go through my order first. So it was One of Ultron 1, number 1. Marvel Zombies, number 2. The Doctor Strange episode, number 3. Probably the finale, number 4. And then probably T'Challa Star-Lord. Then I would have to say, Who Killed the Avengers? I think the only few that are left are...
You got Killmonger, I think. You said Killmonger?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Or probably Thor.
So Killmonger under that, probably. And then Captain Carter, then probably Party Thor. I could switch maybe Party Thor over Captain Carter, because there was some really cool moments in Party Thor. I just think overall the episode was just kind of whatever.
Yeah.
But I think that's mine. What are yours? This doesn't have to be ironclad.
Number one is Zombies.
Hell
Zombies,
yeah.
Zombies I've been rewatching. Finale was 2.
Cool.
T'Challa Star-Lord was 3. Ultron's episode, What If Ultron 1.
Cool.
Doctor Strange, Killmonger, and then the bottom ones are kind of hard.
Yeah, they're all kind of
Thor. Yeah, they're all like just little pieces that, you know, that make them like go ahead of each other.
Yeah.
And then Avengers, the episode where Avengers died, and then Captain Carter.
I really like the Avengers one. I thought it was very interesting.
It made me sad.
Yeah, especially with Hank Pym being the villain. I was like, damn, I definitely would not have guessed that going into it. But it was cool. Also, Hank Pym having a very bad time in What If. The only person having a worse time is Tony Stark, because he died in every episode besides one.
Yeah, honestly, dang. They just want to do that to him.
I suggest watching this. New Rockstars made a video saying if Tony Stark's death is an absolute point in the multiverse, that he has to die in order for things to move forward, it's a very good video. It came out before we saw that he lives in the one universe with Gamora, but it's a very good video. I highly recommend going watch that. So before we get out of here, I need you to plug No Sleep Fest. This year, you know, you've done it for a few years, right?
Yeah. This is the fifth year anniversary.
This lineup is very awesome. It's got a few of my favorite current bands, Frail Body and Grey Haven, both incredible bands. I worked with Frail Body for a while before I got out of booking, and they're the best dudes. I worked a little bit with Grey Haven too, but they're also amazing dudes. That band is phenomenal. But I'll let you have the floor. Talk about No Sleep Fest.
So yeah, it's the fifth year anniversary. It's a really crazy lineup, because this is the biggest lineup we've had. And I think part of it also is taking a break during the pandemic, you know, even though the pandemic put a hinder on everything. But I feel like that break needed to happen for it to evolve. And now we've gotten to a point where we've gotten attention. You know what I mean? The attention that it deserves.
Yeah.
And it's actually kind of crazy seeing people think they're going to fly out. We We have the Speed of Sound and Seawater headlining. That's a band that I feel like a lot of people don't know. They don't pay attention to like the math rock community.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm really happy to have them. And then, of course, like you said, it's a mixed genre lineup.
Oh,
But
yeah.
I've noticed that it's very chaotic. You got like Frail
Yeah.
Body,
Yeah.
Grey Haven, For Your Health, the Kazdow Boys, and then you have like math rock artists like Standards and Challenger Deep. And then you got some pop punk. You got Nominee and Sundress.
Hell yeah. Love
Then,
Nominee.
yeah, and there's a lot of newcomers too as well, like Fall 50 Feet. And then we still got some locals too, like Blood Between Us, God Hand,
Yep.
and From Joy. I'm trying to remember, I'm trying to make sure I don't forget anybody.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's overall it's a really good lineup. It's literally gonna be just a homie fest because everyone's literally friends with each other,
Yeah.
and I love that. It's attracting. But also another thing that I didn't make it to, like, I didn't have this vision when I came up the lineup, but it just happened to
Gonna
be this,
happen.
like, it attracts the math rock community. You know
Hell
what I mean?
yeah.
And then like people are hitting me up asking about like math rock stuff here, and I'm just like, I just love music. I didn't do this on purpose.
Right.
It just happened
Just
to be
how
that
it,
way. You know what I
yeah,
mean?
it's hard planning that stuff. It just ends up coming together, and then you're like, oh wow, this is how it, this is what it is, and this is awesome.
Yeah.
That's very good to hear. Is there a website where people can go buy tickets?
We have a Eventbrite ticket link on
Yep.
every single social media, the
Cool.
Twitter, the Facebook, and the Instagram, all just No Sleep Fest. And then we also have shirts
Hell yeah.
designed by James himself, who designed the flyer too as well, which he did an amazing job,
He
honestly.
is incredible. He has his own style and he's amazing. I'm in like a little like music engagement group on Instagram for the Metal Corner Twitter. That dude is amazing. He's very, very good. I love his
Yeah, and he's
stuff.
very friendly, easy to work with too as well.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I'll actually link all the stuff below in the description, whether you're watching us on YouTube or listening to us on audio. So you'll be able to go down there and click, especially if you're in the Texas area and it's easier for you to get there. Please go and support this fest. He also books just normal tours and stuff. I worked with him a lot when I was booking tours. Pablo has been awesome. I'm glad he hit me up and wanted to, because there's just some people I don't know that are into nerd stuff. So I you know what I mean? I don't know unless people hit me up, and I'm very glad you hit me up and then we had this conversation. It was a very fun time, and we'll definitely need to do it again in the future when something else comes up. I mean, there's a million things coming up, so it'll happen again for sure. Thank you again for coming on, man.
Of course, I appreciate it. All right, thank you.
No problem, but you guys know the drill. If you're new to Metalcore Nerds, just follow social media. Go to metalcorenerds.com. You can find all the social media. You can find out where you can subscribe there. We do a few bi-monthly things live on Twitch, like live music panels or movie panels, sorry. And the new show, All Elite Nerds, which is a podcast about All Elite Wrestling, which I'm going to be doing another episode here by the end of the month. That will be coming too. A lot to talk about with there. But again, metalcorenerds.com. You can find everything there. Please follow on social media, like, subscribe, all that stuff. You guys know what it is. And see you later, nerds.